Listen to the words of the song, God, Himself the Lamb.
Although Abraham could not understand why God His great love would take from him the only son he had, yet when it seemed to him all was dim, his faith this promise sang, God will provide Himself the Lamb. God will provide Himself the Lamb. The only Son that sin demands, although he proved to Abraham he will provide Himself the Lamb. Behold the Lamb, God Himself the Lamb. Then the promise rang unto Bethlehem when God reached down to man and gave to us the only Son He had. Then when His time had come, with His precious blood He sealed redemption's plan, and He provides Himself a Lamb. God will the only sacrifice that sin demands. Although He proved to Abraham He will provide Himself the Lamb, behold the Lamb of God. God Himself the Lamb. And though He proved to Abraham He will provide Himself the Lamb, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb.
Today, I'm happy and hoping that today will be a day that the Lord has made for you, and that you're going to rejoice and be glad and be excited about what the Word of God has got to say to you today. If you have your Bible there, let's go to Hebrews chapter number 9, begin reading with verse 11. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come, or that are about to come, that He has entered the greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. So Christ goes into the sanctuary. That's not an earthly tabernacle, because we know that the earthly tabernacle was a type and shadow of what we have going on today. It was a type and shadow of the earthly tabernacle that God was given. God gave directions to Moses to build. Look at Acts 17 and 24. The God who produced and formed the world and all things in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in handmade shrines. You understand that when we're talking about God, when we're talking about our master and savior, we are not talking about someone that you build a statue to, or you build an edifice to. He dwells here. He dwells in heaven. Isaiah 66 and verse 1 says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house would you build for me? And what kind can be my resting place? You see, we live in a world that's all about the buildings. Even in Matthew 25 and Luke 24, the disciples, they say, Lord, look at the tabernacle. Look at this beautiful edifice here. And he goes, hey, I tell you that there's not going to be one brick left upon another. What you need to understand is that everything that God did in the earthly tabernacle was a mirror or a shadow of what goes on in the heavenly tabernacle. I heard Josh Peck say one time, he wrote a book about the Essenes, that it would have appeared the reason the calendar had to be so precise and things had to be done such a certain way, that the celebrations that they would have, tabernacles and all of that, mirrored what was going on in heaven as that type and shadow to prepare them. So we understand that he goes into a tabernacle that is not made with hands. And secondly, this tabernacle, this throne room, is where God dwells. Psalms 11 and verse 4, very interesting right here. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test and prove the children of men. So what we see is that God's presence physically dwells in the tabernacle, in his heavenly tabernacle. It physically dwells there for you and I to be a part and to understand who he is. But the thing that many of us have to understand and many of us need to grasp is that God is doing something in our lives that he wants to bring out of our lives. He wants to move in such a way that we can hear him. We understand what he's telling us. Habakkuk chapter 2 tells us that the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth hush and keep silent before him. We need to get to the place in our own relationship that we say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I want to experience you. I want to move more of me out of the way so that you can take more of me, so that in that way creates room for more of you. Now let's go to verse 12. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once and for all, once and for all time, and secured our redemption forever. Verse 13, under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciousnesses from dead works or from sinful deeds, so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For God died to set them free from the penalty of sin they had committed under that first covenant. So we need to understand that the sacrifice is superior. Now, where do we get the idea of the blood sacrifice? Well, in Exodus chapter number 12 and verse 13, but the blood shall be for a token or a sign to you upon the doorpost of your house, where you are, that when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall be upon you to destroy you while I smite the land of Egypt. Blood in that very first Passover night marked the houses of the believer and the unbeliever, the Israelite and the Egyptian. If Egyptians had heeded what the Jews said, I believe, and painted the blood on their doorpost, God would have passed over even the Egyptian houses. But instead, we need to understand that we are no longer under a new blood covenant. Matthew 26 and verse 8, in the what we call the communion scripture, Jesus says this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which ratifies the agreement and is being poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Given for the forgiveness of sin. Do you get that? The new covenant was not just to hide sin, but to forgive sin. The new covenant was not to put you and I back into a place of bondage, but a place of freedom. Colossians 1 and verse 20, and God purposed that through by the service intervention of him, the Son, all things should be completely reconciled back to himself, whether on earth or in heaven, as through him, the Father, made peace by means of the blood of his cross. God wanted to reconcile me, reconcile you back to himself, all of creation back to himself. But blood had to be spilled. There had to be a sacrifice. Now, the bloods of goats and heifers and all of the blood ceremonial cleansings only could hide sin, but it couldn't purify, it couldn't cleanse you from sin. It would hide it for a season. But the blood of Jesus has been made to make you and I back to him, that we can walk and be who he's called us to be. You must recognize, Peter would say, that you're redeemed, ransomed from the useless, fruitless way of living that you inherited by your traditions from your forefathers, not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but you were purchased, redeemed, claimed back with the precious blood of Christ, the Messiah, like that of a sacrificial lamb without blemish or without spot. When he redeemed us back to himself, it wasn't with money. You see, Satan took dominion of the planet in Genesis chapter 3, but he was warned that when the Messiah came, he was going to crush your head. He was going to buy back all of humanity. The problem with many of us today is we no longer live or work under the authority that we've been given. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words won't ever pass away. He told the disciples before he ascended, all power on heaven and earth is given to me. Go ye therefore, and we are to walk in the authority of Christ. Walk in the authority of the Father as members of the kingdom, because we were purchased on the slave market of death to be brought into the kingdom of light, to be brought into his place of walking in victory. And if you're not walking in victory this morning, the problem could be you've not truly gotten a hold of the blood covenant of Christ that says you are a new creature in Christ, that you've been set free and you've been changed. I wish somebody would amen me, because I'm telling you right now that he has made you more than a conqueror. And he did this for one reason. He said that he did all of this so that we could worship the true and serve the true and living God. The true and living God. And I found this scripture, and I want you to listen to it, because we live in a world that right now is bound in fear and sickness. Amen? That we live in a world right now where everybody is worried about the next pandemic, the next epidemic, the next problem. But notice what he told the Israelites in Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. You shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless your bread and water. He will bless the things he supplies you with. And I will take sickness from among your midst. And I've never really saw that till just today. He wants to bless everything that he supplies to you. He wants to make sure that you don't live in sickness. Yet, we act like everything is in, we live in perpetual panic mode. Perpetual panic mode. Afraid of something. When he says, let me bless you, serve me. Serve me as your God. Serve me as your Father. Serve me as your King. Let me bless your supply. Let me take sickness from among your body and among your people. But what he wants of us is the heartfelt service. When Jesus bought us back, he gave you and I the authority to worship and serve God in a way that we could not under the old law. We can come boldly, Hebrews 4:16, boldly before the throne of grace to find help in the time of our need, that we can sit together in heavenly places, that we can call on him when we need him, we can walk with him, we can become imitators of him. All he asks of us is to completely turn over control of our heart that we can walk in victory. He says, you will serve me, I will bless, and I will take. Joshua 24:14, Joshua talking to the children of Israel. Now, therefore, reverently fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity. What does that mean to serve in sincerity? You're not looking for anything. You're looking to serve him. And in truth, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the Euphrates River, and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And serve the Lord. We live in a society that's not about serving. We are in a very narcissistic society. People, when they do attend church, they've heard this prosperity gospel. So what they want is the new BMW, the new house, the new stuff, without realizing that God has a much deeper idea. He doesn't want you to live in poverty. But I just need a place to live. I don't need to live on this nudie side of town. I don't need a BMW. But God is supplying all of my needs according to his riches, not mine. Paul told the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is never wasted to no purpose. He's saying, look, and especially in these last days when we have our woke, broke culture that doesn't want to hear about the name of Jesus, that don't want to hear the gospel, that says they don't even like the Bible because it talks against their lifestyle. What he's telling you and I to do is to do this. We've become all the more harder working. We've become all the more immovable that we are not taking a step back, but we will serve him. I'm not going to allow the things of this world to prevent me, to stop me from serving God. Because the work you do for the kingdom lasts. Thirdly, he gave us the authority in this same little area to receive an eternal inheritance. John 14:1-2. Do not let your hearts be troubled or distressed or agitated. You believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on God. Believe in, adhere to, and trust and rely also on me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, homes. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I am going away to prepare a place for you. Notice what he says. We trust God, trust him. He's got a place for us. He's given us the authority to walk here with our eye toward eternity, knowing that our last breath here is our first step there. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes, their answer in him, Christ. For this reason, we also utter the amen, so be it, to the glory through him in his person, by his agency, to the glory of God. The promises of God, we receive them when we come into agreement that they're in Christ and we say, amen, let it be this way. We walk so far beneath our privilege and we walk so far out of our authority because we don't accept the promises of God. We don't take the promises of God and say, these are mine. I like the song that I sang about Abraham, but yet his faith sang this song, God will provide himself a lamb. You see, when we begin to hang on to God's promises, when we begin to stand firm on what he said, we will walk in victory. 1 John 2:25, and this is what he himself promised us. He promised us life, eternal life. So Jesus went into the heavenly tabernacle. He made a more perfect sacrifice with his blood. Verse 16. Now, when someone leaves a will, it is necessary to prove that the person who made it is dead. Now, when someone, in another way it reads in the Greek, now when someone makes a covenant, it is necessary to ratify it with the death of a sacrifice. The will goes into effect only after the person's death. While the person who made it is still alive, this will cannot be put into effect. That is why even the first covenant was put into effect with the blood of an animal. For after Moses had read each of God's commandments to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats along with water and sprinkled both the book of God's law, the people using hyssop branches and scarlet wool. Then he said in Exodus 24:8, this blood confirms the covenant God has made with you. And in the same way, he sprinkled blood on the tabernacle and on everything used for worship. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood, for without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood. Jesus had to die. Because for the new covenant to go into effect, he has to die. Because you can't, the will doesn't work if you're still alive and kicking. So he had to die to start the new covenant, to trigger this new covenant. Because without the shedding of blood, you and I can't be set free. Without the shedding of blood, we can't be made whole. Without the shedding of blood, we are lost in our sins. Paul would say that Jesus not only had to die, but he had to resurrect. Because his blood is needed to forgive and to cover sin. Do you hear me this morning? A few years ago, one of the churches wanted to get rid of all the blood songs in the Bible. You can't, because the blood is part and parcel of the gospel of Christ. But the reason that the fallen realm hates Christ dying and resurrecting can be found in 1 Corinthians verses 2 and 8. It's very interesting. None of the rulers of this age recognized and understood this wisdom. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If the fallen realm had figured it out, and this is why you've got to be careful with prophecy. God has written prophecy just vague enough so that even the fallen realm, who has more access to things than we do, don't get it. They don't catch on to what's happening. But if they had realized that when they crucified Christ and he yelled, "It is finished," that he had sealed their fate, they probably wouldn't have done it. But you see, the fallen realm didn't get it. They thought, "We killed him. We're done. Yay, yay, yay." The thing is, he didn't stay dead. He arose. And he offers to you and to me total forgiveness of our sins. He offers to you and to me the covering of our sins, cast into the sea of forgetfulness, not to be remembered again. So let me ask you this morning. Have you been to Calvary for the cleansing flood? As the song says, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Today can be your day. Today can be the day that you become free from sin, that you walk in it, become a new creature in Christ. It's very simple. He says, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Confess with your mouth your sins and that Jesus is the Lord, is Lord of your life. And then repent. You don't need me to help you to get there. You don't need it. You can do it right where you are today. Because he loves you where you are. We'll be right back in just a moment. I want to pray for you and pray for your needs.
Can I pray for you today? Father God, we thank you so much for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your glory. We thank you, God, that you hear us and that your word is always true and your word is always powerful. If we'll learn to be not only a hearer, but a doer of your divine word. And Father God, I pray that today, if someone prayed that prayer, if they've reached out to you, that you'll help them to find that new life in Christ. Lord, if there's someone out there that's battling a sickness, let them learn today that by your stripes, they were healed and they've been changed and transformed. And Father God, we are so grateful and thankful for what you do and what you're doing in the lives of those who are listening and those of the lives that will listen later. And we're going to be careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just say thank you for joining me today right here at Restoration. If you have ever any prayer requests, email me at pastorstansberry@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to join with you in prayer. Also, if you don't mind, I've got some things in my life right now, some situations that have developed in my professional side, the other side of my school side, and I need your prayers. So please join with me in that, and I'll keep everybody apprised of that. So until next week, this is Dr. Eric Stansberry of Restoration saying thank you for coming. And remember, grace and peace will be multiplied to you through the name of Jesus Christ. Have a great day.